But I tell you what, it was. If I had to miss, I couldn't think of any better place to be with any better Spirit of God than right here. I like what I've seen here thus far and what God's doing in this place. As we sang, starting out there, first thing, about a mansion, you know what? I'm glad I have a mansion. It ain't no little house on a hillside. It's a mansion in God's own home, amen. And I know it without a shadow of a doubt, and I know I'm going to be there one day, and I'm looking forward to that day. And can y'all hear me?
Do I need to turn this on or just leave it off?
Amen? Okay. But anyway, I'm just thankful that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know where I'm going to be. And Brother Billy, my name's Billy too, by the way. I'm thankful that the Lord answers our prayers. And He answered the prayer, and your mother woke up, and she's breathing on her own. Amen. I believe in what God says in His Word. He tells us to ask and believe, and it shall be. Too many times we as Baptists, we ask and we don't believe, and it never shall be. Amen. I hate to say it like that, but I believe we ought to ask and believe.
Amen.
Do you believe God for salvation, right?
Amen.
You believe God's going to carry you home one day, right?
Amen.
But then we won't believe that God will heal somebody. We don't believe that God will heal the infirmities of our body. But I tell you what, I believe that He's still in the healing business. Amen. Like I said yesterday, I don't believe that I'm able to heal nobody. I don't believe your pastor, as much as he'd love to heal somebody, is able to heal nobody. But the eternal God of this universe can. Amen. Hey, I'm excited whenever you see things happen like that. God's good. Amen. I heard when we walked in today, tonight, we're standing back here, and there's this fellow's talking about how good God is. Well, I'm going to tell you what, He's good. To yet old sinner like me. Boy, I thank Him every day for His goodness and His grace and His mercy. Boy, we got so much to be thankful for. Hey, I'm telling you what, this is Monday night. We got Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And unless the Lord tarries on, and bless God, He'll put you right in the place right there and carry it right on through. Amen. Hey, if a true revival breaks out, it ain't about the man standing right here in front of you. It's about Jesus Christ. Anybody else can pick it up and carry it right on. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I thank God that He's that way. I thank God that He can take His word and speak to the heart of people. But if y'all, I tell you what, if you've enjoyed the singing and everything that's went on, raise your right hand. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved and you know it, put your left hand up. And like I said, some of you don't know your left from your right, just put them together and give God glory. Amen. Bless God, He's worthy to raise our hands up and say glory to God. Hey, He's worthy to say amen whenever you agree with something that's been said. I'm telling you what, God sure is good. He's been good. He is good. And He always will be good. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles. Turn it to the book of Philippians. And we'll get there in just a moment. I'm telling you, I've thought long and hard about what to preach and what God would have us say ever since He called some time ago. And I think this is what God would have preached tonight. I want to preach on the subject of what Paul knew that you should know, amen. What Paul knows that you better know, amen. And Paul knew a lot of things, but I tell you what, he didn't know a lot about circumstances. Amen. Brother Billy, circumstances that goes on in our life. We don't know about the tragic things that goes on in our life. We don't understand why they happen. I have people come to me all the time and they say, hey, this circumstance is really bothering me. Why come God took my dad away? Why come God took my wife away? Why come God took my one of my children away? Hey, I can't give an answer for that. But I tell you what, Paul had an answer for one thing. I tell you, and I don't even believe Paul as smart as he was. Paul was a smart man, y'all. Don't think for one minute that he was some dummy. Even though he was martyring Christians, and even though he was going down that Damascus road, he was lost and undone looking for others to martyr. Hey, when God come by his way and saved his sorry soul, amen, whenever he spoke to his heart, amen, he got right with God. And that's what a lot of us have done in here. And I'm telling you what, if you're in here and you've never done that, tonight is the night. I'm telling you, Jesus can come through and step out on that cloud at any time. You better believe that. I'm telling you, it could happen at any time. But Paul knew a few things. Paul wasn't smart. Paul was in prison whenever he penned this letter to the church at Philippi. I believe, as we look into it, under the grace of our holy God, amen, under the inspiration of an eternal God of this universe, and guided by the Holy Spirit of this God, of God. I believe we, as we look at this, the book of Philippians, we could say maybe it was Paul's jailhouse joy, because you know what? He found peace and comfort no matter where he was at, no matter whether the thorn was in the side. He may not have understood why he had the thorn in the flesh. He may not have understood why he couldn't see so well, but he knew one thing, amen. He knew in whom he had believed. He knew that he was able to keep that thing, that he was going to keep his salvation through Jesus Christ. He couldn't do it in and of himself, but also in chapter 4, I believe it is, where he says that he says, rejoice in the Lord always. We're going to be in chapter 3, but I tell you, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I tell you what, I don't know that I could say that if I was sitting in a penitentiary around here right now, no matter whether it was in York or wherever it might be. I don't know that I could say that sitting in a jail cell. And rejoice in the Lord always. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that I know a God that can give me peace and comfort. Because there might come a day whenever I get tossed in jail, and your pastor might get tossed in jail for preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior. I hope one of you would come and see us, amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, it'd be rough. I'll tell you what, me and him be sitting in there together, I do believe, because I don't believe you're going to back up if they say we can't preach the gospel no more. I don't believe for 1 minute you're going to back up no more than I'm going to back up. Amen. We're going to keep right on preaching. Hey, we'll be in there again. We'll be like Paul and Silas, amen. Hey, the earth start quaking. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to quit. I don't believe this is the day and hour in which we the church, ought to quit. It's time for us to dig our heels in, plant it down firm, get the move on, amen, so to speak, and say, here we are, people. Here we are, world. Here we are, York County. Hey, we're not going to back down. We're not going to kowtow. We're not penny wasted. We're going to keep moving on for God's honor and His glory. Amen. Amen. Now, I know a lot of women probably didn't just like what I just said. But I'm telling you, it ain't time for us to back up. It's not time for us to back up. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Every day, all the time. Amen. I looked that up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. In and throughout all time. Always. In and throughout all times. We ought to rejoice no matter what's going on. Now, I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to rejoice in our circumstances sometimes, and we don't understand why. Hey, I don't understand why she quit breathing yesterday. And all those things. But I tell you what, I know the God that's able. I know the God is able to speak peace that passes all understanding. Hey, I don't know why. Hey, there may be some in here that's lost their children at a young age. I tell you what, the law of Adras says my kids should outlive me. I should not outlive them. I don't know if I could handle it. But I know with Jesus Christ, I would be able to handle it. That's the peace and comfort that you have in knowing Jesus Christ. I don't know how a lost person could ever get by. Well, I guess I do know. It's because they don't really know what love is. Because God is love. And whenever you know God, boy, you love your children even more so. You love them like God loves them. Amen. And I know that's hard to say. The Bible says that you love your wife as Christ loved the church. Could you imagine, men, if we could do that? Boy, it got quiet there. Could you imagine, men, if we could love our wives as Christ loves the church? But I guarantee you we ought to strive to. And you know what? When we strive to love our wives as Christ loves the church, then they won't have no problem with that little word goes, submission.
Yeah, amen.
Submission.
Yeah.
Say it loud enough. You won't have a problem with that word. Because then we're doing what we're supposed to. I don't know why that came in, but bless God, it's there anyway. Amen. Always, forever, all in and throughout all time. Paul was in prison when he penned, rejoice in the Lord. I'll tell you what, there's four chapters in the book of Philippians, and I want to look, I just kind of give you an overview, a theme, while dealing with joy, what Paul thought about in the chapter number one. Paul found joy in the purpose of life. Hey, I tell you what, I believe we got to have joy. A long time ago, back in 1979 when I got saved, I found a purpose in my life. I believe everybody, whenever you get saved, God has a purpose for your life. And bless God, I believe if you haven't found that purpose yet, you ought to seek God with everything that's within you. You ought to talk to your pastor. You ought to get in the Word of God. You ought to get down on your face before Holy God and say, God, what would you have me do? I believe everybody in here has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. Hey, he's called some to preach. He's called some to teach. He's called some to go out soul winning. He's called some to sweep the floor. He called some to clean the commode. He called some to cut the grass. Hey, he has a purpose for everybody in here. Everybody. He's assembled you together. And the reason why I say that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is great gain. He found a purpose for his life. Hey, he knew for him to live was Christ. He was to exalt the Savior. I believe that's what we ought to do with our life. That ought to be our purpose and our goal in life, is to exalt the Savior. In chapter 2, we found Paul found joy in the pattern of life, because he said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hey, there's been a pattern, as I spoke of just a little bit yesterday, as a pattern in my life. Hey, it's been passed on from generation to generation. Hey, I tell you, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I come to know, I believe with all my heart, my mama went to be with the Lord at 58 years old. I've told people this before. She went at an early age, can you believe, 58 years old, and the Lord took her. But I knew a long time ago, when God saved me in 1979, when I walked away from Him, that I shouldn't have been running from Him. Hey, He had a work for me to do. Hey, my mama was faithful to pray for me, and I believe that God took her home, because that's what it took to wake me up, for me to find my purpose and to keep the pattern going on, amen, that others come to know Jesus Christ, to reach the lost, that they might come to know Jesus Christ. It's important that we take these tracks. I see y'all got a track rack over it, and we give them out to people. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a pattern that they need to follow. They need to follow a good godly pattern. Amen. They need to follow some of you in here. Hey, right here's a good one that people can follow. I'm sure there's other your people in here that people can follow. Kids, lock your eyes on somebody in here. Don't lock them on to these football stars and these basketball stars. Hey, they aren't your role models. Them people out to deceive you, to take everything you've got, bleed you dry. It ain't like it was in the old days. I think it was Babe Ruth. Hey, they wanted him to do some advertising for some alcoholic beverage. He said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be responsible for no kid going off and getting drunk and falling off and into eternity, into bits of hell. Hey, he was real about that. I don't know whether he was saved or lost, but I do remember reading that about him. Hey, I tell you what, that's when we used to have some role models in our sports. We don't have them today. Hey, you better fix your eyes on somebody in this church, young people. Fix your eyes on somebody that's walking right, walking straight, amen. If you look right there in Peter, there's a good place there, and it's another message in itself, the walk that marks a Christian, amen. I believe we ought to have a walk that marks a Christian, that you walk right, you talk right, you look right, you dress right, amen. I believe we ought to look like Christians. Amen. I don't believe we ought to walk around with our britches down to our knees. Amen. I believe you got a waistline for a reason. To hold your britches up there, amen. I can't. Hey, it beats all I ever seen to be. And see, white, black, it don't make no difference who it is nowadays. You see them walking around like this, holding their britches up all the time. Bless God. Hey, I stopped one, brother. I said, you know what? If you knew the reason why you're doing that right there, you wouldn't do it no more. Let me go ahead and tell you, young folks, in prison. That's why whenever they had their britches like that, they were called pump boys. They were called that for a reason. Hey, they might as well hear the truth here, because they hear everything else outside. That's what it was for. I wasn't in prison, by the way. Never have been. Never had cuffs put on me. Wasn't because I didn't deserve it, but bless God, I was in prison without Jesus Christ. But the pattern, not only the pattern, but Paul found joy in chapter 3, joy in the prize of life, because he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press toward the high mark, or toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let me be sure I read that right. Let's read it again. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I tell you what, that ought to be the prize in everybody's life, that we press toward that mark. Hey, God set it forth in His Word. It's not what Billy Lingerfelt says. It's not what Pastor Ron Roddy says. It was thus saith the Lord. That ought to be who we set our affections on. Let me tell you something. Don't never fix your eyes on me. Your pastor might be different, but I don't think he is. Don't fix your eyes on him either. You fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, you'll never go wrong. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I could fall at any time, but I know one that never will fall, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the one we come to exalt tonight. He's the one we came to make much of tonight. And let me tell you something, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it for you, because I can get even louder and I can shout even more and I can say glory to God just as much as you can. Boy, He sure is good to me. And people look at me like this boy's crazy. Amen. I love Jesus Christ, and I like to exalt Him. I like to make much of Him. Boy, He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. Hey, the prize of life. Boy, I'm telling you what. Not only that, in chapter 4, Paul found his joy in the praise of life. That's whenever he marked it down there in chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hey, and what did he say? And again I say rejoice. Can I get a witness in the crowd tonight? Can you say that with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That it wasn't loud enough. Can I say it again? Can you say it again with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. I tell you what, whenever everything's coming against you, when all of life and hell is coming against you, that's what we need to be saying. We need to fix it in our minds. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. I don't believe Paul could have made it where he... Excuse me, sister, that's Holy Spirit. I don't believe Paul could have made it where he made it and made it how he made it unless he knew that he could rejoice in the Lord. I'll tell you what, we live defeated lives as Christians because we don't rejoice in the Lord. You see your preacher shaking right there? We live defeated lives as Christians in our walk with the Lord is because we don't rejoice in the Lord like we ought to. We ought to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. They ain't nothing going to beat me down. They ain't nothing going to take my joy away with the help of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I know in whom I believe, and He's going to take me home to paradise one day. He's going to take me home to heaven one day, and that's what you better believe. That's what you better trust in, because I'm telling you what, Satan wants to defeat you, but you know what, Satan, he don't know nothing but except what you tell him. He's not like God. A lot of times our flesh defeats ourselves. We let our flesh take over, and it's what defeats us more than Satan. Amen. Bible says crucify your flesh daily. Boy, you can't have joy if you let that flesh take over. You say, well, I'll have joy for a short season. I'll enjoy that, but then that guilt hits. Boy, and that bitterness hits. And then, boy, you can't have that joy like you wanted it. I'm going to tell you what, there ain't nothing better than Jesus Christ. Well, I'm tell you what, I'm glad Paul found some things. I'm glad Paul found and left us some examples here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the eternal God of this universe. Paul had hard times. Paul had sickness. Paul had accusers. I tell you what, I'm thankful we don't have the accusers that they had in the Bible time, but we still have them today. Hey, they can't stand what's going on in the church house. They can't stand to see a church being built. Amen. They can't stand it out there. They'll talk all kind of smack about it. Hey, they'll never do nothing for God. Bunch of backslidden hypocrites. I'm going to tell you what, they want to call hypocrites. They ought to look in the mirror, bless God, because they're the biggest ones that's probably out there. It never fails. Boy, you go visiting. I don't go to church no more because the church is full of hypocrites. And I said, bless God, you better stay out of it because you're going to ruin it. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Because it definitely will be full of hypocrites. I'd rather go to heaven sitting right where I'm at, brother. Amen. Amen. None of us perfect. None of us righteous. But Paul had accusers. I'm sure he had folks ask him the question. But Paul... Why are you in prison? Why is all these things happening to you? Why do you have that thorn in the flesh? Hey, he run around with Luke. If you notice, in every time you notice where Paul's at, Luke's there. The medicine man's there. He had some things going on in life. And he said, Paul, why do you have these things? You're an apostle. Paul, if you're a servant of God. Paul, if you're saved. Hey, have you ever heard that? Hey, well, if you're saved like you say you are, why come you going through these things? Why come you having these problems that you're having? Why come your mama's sick and in the hospital? If you're really right with God, have you ever had anybody point at you like that and call you out like that? But hey, they did that to Paul, but Paul was just reassuring them one thing. He really didn't know. I don't understand it all. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Paul wasn't going to steer them wrong, but Paul told them one thing here as we look into the Scripture. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 and look at this little phrase that Paul says, that I may know him. Let me tell you something. That was some important words right there. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And I'm going to tell you what. Paul got to nailing them something down right yonder. Hey, they might have wanted to know a lot of other stuff, but Paul wanted to know in whom he believed. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, I'm telling you what. I'm thankful that I know Jesus Christ, just as Paul's saying right here. We're going to examine this phrase as we look at it in our King James Bible. Amen. We have the Word of God. Hey, that was great seeing that article. My pastor seeing his hand in there and seeing that Bible right there. I'm going to tell you what, that meant a lot to me last night, brother. And I'll tell you what, that's the reason, one of the reasons why I'm still doing what I'm doing is because of God. Amen. First of all, but because of that man of God. I believe that he was instrumental in teaching me the way, and just so y'all will know, Pastor Wayne Smith was my pastor. Amen. He's with the Lord now. And I'm telling you what, God sure is good. But it sure was good seeing his hand right there on that King James Bible. Was it not the first thing that I spotted? I said, that's my pastor's fingers right there. Amen. And then I got to looking at the notes right there. I'd seen that Bible before, and I knew who it was. And I knew it wasn't yours, bless God, because I knew I hadn't seen yours. It was his Bible. Boy, he believed in that King James Bible. And they wrote an article, him and your pastor, give them what they needed to understand 400 years of the preserved Word of God. Amen. I'm glad God, he said he would preserve it to all generations, and he has. It ain't in these other versions. I think I looked at a study. I done a study and preached at our church one night. 101 different versions of the Bible now. And all of them are runt and corrupt and crud. I'll tell you what, we ought to circle a file all of them. Every bookstore in there that carries them ought to just go ahead and throw them all away as far as I'm concerned. Because they ain't the Word of God. But as we examine that word, know is imparted knowledge. I'm going to tell you what, God's imparted some things to me. He's gave me a knowledge. It kind of goes along with what you taught in Sunday school yesterday, brother. Hey, he put a still small voice in me called what? My conscience. And I'm going to tell you what, lets me know that it's already imparted in me, that I know that there's a God, that there's a creator of the heavens and the earth. But it's imparted knowledge that there are some things we know because the eternal God of this universe has imparted them to us. Do you understand that? There's a lot of things. Hey, I don't have to be questioned on this or wonder whether I have the Word of God, because I know I have the Word of God. It's knowledge that God has imparted unto me. Hey, I know that I've got the Word of God. I don't have to run around and be weak-kneed. I don't have to run around and be wobbly about things. Oh, did God really say that? Hey, God, right here it is. God said it, amen. And if God said it, I'm for it, amen. And I believe every Christian in here today ought to be that way. We ought to have the imparted knowledge of God through and through his word, amen. The biggest thing we got, the problem we got, though, is a lot of Christians won't read it. Boy, we love the Lord, but bless God, if I got to read that thing. Man, I ain't got time to do all that. Man, it's more than I can bear. Let me tell you what, without it's more than you can bear. Without it's more than you can bear. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, when I got something going, when a trial of life's going on, boy, I can flip right there, open that thing, and it ain't but just a couple pages, and God shows me right where I need to be. And boy, I can sit right there and big old, what do they call them, teardrops just start forming in the corners of your eyes, and you say, thank you, Lord. You spoke to me. You give me what I need. Hey, I can remember a time when me and my wife was having trouble, and I got over there in the book of Timothy, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, hey, boy, you don't want this wrong. You need to get things right. It just started welling up in me, but there's been also times that my wife's read over there, and I think she's had to do the same thing. I bless God. Hey, I'm tell you what, I'm thankful for an eternal God that He speaks to me through His Word. Amen. People say I have these divine revelations. I don't believe in all that, because I have the divine revelations from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. I've had the Holy inspired Word. It's all here and it's all complete. You better believe it from front to back. Too many times we want to depend on our own understanding instead of what thus saith the Lord. But it's imparted knowledge. I said I was going to give you two things, knowledge or wisdom, that is gained by experience. I like to say the school of hard knocks, so to speak. I tell you what, there's a lot of things I've learned, and I've learned them by the hard way. And I guarantee you I won't forget them. You know what? Hey, I've learned it's better to love people. It's better to try to encourage them and help them along life's way than it is to try to tear them down and tear them up. Hey, man, I'd be much better off to try to pick somebody up and restore them to fellowship. I believe that's what the Bible says. Amen. I believe Paul, I believe he taught us that all through his letters, that we pick one another up. It ain't time to poke him down. It ain't time to stab him in the back. It ain't time to twist it a little harder. It's time to say, hey, brother, have you put it under the blood? Hey, I'm going to tell you what, too many times in our Baptist churches, we are bad about this. I hope not here, but a lot of Baptist churches are bad about it. Whenever a man falls or a woman falls, they go around and talk about it to everybody else, tell everybody else about it. That ain't what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go to that person, I think, and ask them if it's under the blood. And if it's under the blood, we're to start restoring. We're to start restoring the process. Hey, I tell you what, but if you're a deacon in here and you fall off the wagon and you go back to drinking, there ought to be a time, yeah, we restore you, but bless God, hey, there's a time that you need to prove yourself back again. Amen. That's scriptural. Don't take, Brother Billy preached, just restore them. No, you got to prove yourself. Prove that you worthy of that calling. Amen. Amen. I hope ain't nobody, no deacons in here falling off the wagon. Amen. I hope you got on the wagon tonight. Amen. The wagon of God's Word and got filled up. Hey, I tell you what, that's what I want. I want people to be filled up with the Word of God. Amen. Did I tell you that school of hard knocks is something? It's something we can gain. Paul was a very smart man, as I said earlier. He's educated. He had a lot of spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom. But I tell you what, he couldn't answer those questions that we still have today. He can't answer them no more than we can. But I tell you what, spiritually, the spiritual thing that I think I would want to say is that I know God. Amen. Amen. Hey, I don't understand why that happened. I don't understand why it takes place. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I know God. I know Him. And I'm going to tell you what, Paul knew that he was saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I kind of quoted this verse to you last night, but I'll read it here tonight. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, watch this phrase that's fixing to pop up right here. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know. Amen. Listen to what he said. I know. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you realize that, folks? Church, we need to find our hope and our everything that we have in that right there. That I know Him, that I know in whom I have believed, that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm thankful that I'm saved, and I'm thankful that my salvation ain't in me, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He is able to keep it. Amen. I can't keep it myself. Thank you, Lord. I never will keep it myself, and you never will either. But God, boy, who is rich in mercy, who the God that's full of grace, and the God that is so good to us that everybody talks about, He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. He's going to keep it. I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you what, Paul knew salvation, and I got a little note right here. Brag on Jesus a little bit. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I want to brag on Him. Can I brag on Him, brother? Boy, I'm thankful Jesus is who He is. I'm thankful that He's God's only Son. I'm thankful that He's the perfect Lamb of God. I'm thankful that because of Him going to the cross at Calvary, sister, and He shedding His blood, amen, that whenever He applied it to mercy seat, I have salvation in and through Him. There's nothing better than Jesus. Did you come to exalt Him tonight? Did you come to worship Him tonight? Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. There's ought to be somebody jumping up out of a pew, amen, when we think about what God done. I ain't got to go to hell. I ain't got to go to that great white throne judgment. I ain't got to be lost in the lake of fire. I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ. I will be for Him forevermore in heaven in glory. Forever and ever. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. That's the reason why I want to brag on Jesus. That's that little note right there that said, brag on Jesus. Just brag on Him. Boy, He's awesome. He's the only one worthy of that word. Awesome. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. Boy, I can't even brag on Him enough. My stupid vocabulary ain't good enough to tell you the splendors and how good Jesus is. Let me tell you something. If you're in here lost and undone without Him tonight, boy, I'm going to tell you, you ain't never found joy and love until you've accepted Him. There's nothing better than Him. Nothing better than knowing Him. I tell you what, I'm talking about knocking on doors, brother. How many go knock on doors? Tries to witness to people. How many's ever heard that old saying, you knock on the door? Man, you knock on that thing, and they come to the door, and you say, well, I'm here from Cornerstone Baptist Church, and we want to invite you to church. Well, I go to Baptist Church up the road here, and then the next question out of your mouth, I know. Probably just like mine. Well, who's the pastor up there? How's he doing?
Yeah.
And then they go to what you call it? He's kind of new, and you know he's telling a lie right then because he's been there for 30 years.
Yeah,
pastor, same pastor, been there for 30 years.
Yeah, that's good preaching.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. Well, we go and knock on them doors, and we go and tell people about Jesus. And they want to make every excuse and every lie in the book. And I'm going to tell you what gets me more than anything is whenever you go and knock on them doors and you ask them what they're talking about and what they're learning in their church or what have you. And they say, well, my preacher, he's been teaching a lot about the blessing. He says, boy, if you want the blessings of God, you got to give. And I believe in giving. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not the only blessings that we're talking about here. And I'm going to tell you what, but there's a lot of churches, that's all they talk about is the blessing. Not only that, they talk about the anointing. Oh, man, we have the Spirit filling the anointing. How many's ever heard them talk about that? And that's all they want to talk about. Let me tell you what, there's more to life than that. Hey, they say, boy, if you're truly anointed, you can put your hands on your car and you can say, speak to it, and the Lord pay that thing off. I'm going to tell you what, if that's the truth, I'm going to tell our folks at our church, hey, get about five in this section, go out there and anoint the side of that building and pay that sucker off. Let me tell you what, that's not the anointing that we need to be talking about. We need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be Spirit-filled, amen. I'm going to tell you what, there's too much wrong teaching going on, and let me tell you something, if you want the blessing that you need, the blessing that we need to proclaim is salvation in Jesus Christ. That's truly blessed. Hey, that's the only way we'll get truly blessed is salvation in Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. That's the blessing. Well, I not too long ago had a little bus youngin come. I've been picking her up on and off for 8 or 9 years. She never professed Jesus Christ. What was it, about 4 weeks ago maybe, brother? Boy, she come up to the altar. Her eyes, boy, just full of tears. I know she seen that holy smoke because she couldn't see much in front of her because she was teared up so bad. God working on her heart. Boy, God just squeezing that tear bucket just a little bit. And man, I tell you what, she got up there, my wife, she took that old King James Bible and walked her through that thing, wasn't it you? Or was it Miss Hope? I can't remember. Bless God, we have them come up here, and Miss Hope or Miss Rhonda, somebody takes them and shows them how to be saved. And you know what? She took her, and man, she got up. She really accepted Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of kids, man, sometimes you wonder, but I tell you what, I don't doubt that thing. It's between them and God. And I'm going to tell you what, all we can do is plant the seed. But anyway, I believe this little girl got saved. I believe she got under conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. She got scared of hell, and she didn't want to go to that place, and she truly got saved. And I'm going to tell you what, you know what really broke my heart about it, though, brother? We went to leave that evening or that afternoon to take her home, and I got to talk to her a little bit about baptism, about the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the next command after salvation. Whenever you get saved, be baptized. Hey, do you believe that? I think you talked that yesterday. And anyway, I got to talking to her about it and told her to bring your parents and this, that, and other. And she said, Billy, I can't do that. Meanwhile, like I said, I've been picking her on and off for the last 8 or 9 years. Because she lives all the way up in Gastonia. And anyway, she said, I can't do that. She said, the church I've been going to said I got to wait 2 months or 2 weeks or whatever it was after I accept Jesus Christ before I can be baptized. I said, where's that in the Bible? I said, they just told you a lie. Let me tell you something. You don't believe everything. Let me take you through the Bible. And I took her through the Bible and showed her what the Bible said about salvation and being baptized. And you know what? She teared up again. And I think she wants to be saved or wants to be baptized. But she ain't got to come back yet, bless God, because she lives up there. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be I've talked to her cousins, and she wants to be baptized. She wants her mom and dad to be there. My boy trying to get them together is going to be like pulling teeth from a bull elephant. But you know what, I pray to God every night, Lord, let her be a witness to her mom and daddy, that they'll get what she got. Because if they'll get saved, they'll want to come and get baptized with her. Amen. Hey, that's what it's about. Paul knew what was important. He didn't know about all the circumstances he's been questioned about. He didn't know about all that stuff, but he knew what was important. He knew in whom he believed. He knew about salvation. Amen. I think that's the important thing we need to be in our Baptist churches. Hey, I believe in having revival. I like all these big revivals where they use all these big words and all these things where everybody's going around using these $5 words on 50-cent people, amen, and nobody understands what they said. I believe we ought to get back to having revival where it's about salvation, amen, where we tell people about God and how good Jesus is and how much he loves them, that he loved them enough that he died for them. That's what revival needs to be about, that people come to know him, amen, that we can get closer to him, a closer walk with him, amen. Not only that, you ask people about being saved. You know, there's this easy believism thing going on now. And I'm not one of them type preachers. I believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. That there's repentance must take place. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Confess and believe in our heart. When you confess, you repent. Repent. And believe. Amen. Hey, these quacks around here, running around here today, and all these other different denominations. Oh, you believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ. You're all right. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Satan himself believes in Jesus Christ. Satan himself knows that there's a God. Satan himself knows that he manifests himself in the flesh in and through his son, Jesus Christ. Satan knows that. There's more to it than disbelieving that there's a God and that there's disbelieving that there's a Jesus. They confess. Must be made with your mouth, and you must believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. I'm not one of them easy believing, but that's pretty daggum simple if you ask me, that you come. Now it gets a little bit harder whenever you go to trying to walk with him like we're supposed to and talk with him like we're supposed to. I believe it gets a little bit harder there, but salvation is simple, amen. But whenever you get him inside, they ain't nothing like it. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're born again, the Bible says you must be born again. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what the Bible says. Hey, that's the thing that he does in you, in your heart. He does it. And then these people says, well, I got saved a long time ago, and now I hear in the bars and the honky tonks, and they tell everybody, oh yeah, I'm saved. Let me tell you something. I'd be afraid to stand before God saying such a lie as that. You say, Billy, you judging them? No. Let me tell you something. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You born again, you don't want to be in all that mess. You born again, you don't want to drag Jesus Christ into bars and the honky-tonks. That's right. I'm tired of these folks saying, oh, I'm all right. Let me tell you something. I got off on a stupor one time, but I wouldn't dare tell nobody that I was saved. I was afraid God killed me right there because I knew better. Amen. Hey, you ask, what must I do to be saved? You must realize you're a sinner. You must realize you're a sinner. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second thing. You got to believe that. Not only that, you must side with God in all things, whether it's against you or for you or whatever. Side with God. In everything, in every matter. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that's what's failing in our churches today. We get saved and we ain't going to side with God for nothing. It's God's way. Amen? At the cross, you know that thief on the cross? Jesus said, today you be with me in paradise. Today, that day, he was with him in paradise. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get saved, it's the same way. There's no ifs, ands, no additions. It's God's way. When you step off into eternity, you step off to be in heaven with him forever and ever and ever. And that's something that I pray everyone in here knows that's going to happen to them. If you're here tonight and you don't know without a shadow of a doubt where you're going to spend eternity, Lord help you. I pray you'll know before tonight's out. Before you leave this place. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Boy, I'm thankful that I'm called according to his purpose. I'm thankful that I know. And it's going to work. What did he say? Work together for good to them that love God. I love him. I love him tonight. Let me use this little expression here, or a little illustration. How many in here like fried chicken? I know if you're independent Baptist, brother, you ain't going to raise your hand. You don't like no fried chicken? Well, I love fried chicken. Matter of fact, it's about fried chicken, boiled chicken, about any way you can cook it, stewed chicken, anything. Yeah, amen. I'll tell you what, if they cut my gut open, it'd be a chicken graveyard. Amen. But anyway, you take how many likes buttermilk? Well, oh, Lord, put your hand down. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that stuff's nasty. I'll tell you what, it's just clabbered full milk if you ask me. But I'll tell you what, you take that buttermilk and you take you some eggs. Now, how many likes to eat raw eggs? But I take you take that buttermilk and you take you some eggs and you get you some flour over here and you get you some salt and pepper. Now, how many going to just take a big old handful of fire and go, you ain't going to do that, are you? Huh? You won't do that, will you? That'd be nasty, boy. That's flour to some of y'all. Some of you call it flour. I call it flour. All right? You take that flour, you put some salt and pepper and stuff in it. You know what that? You know what you do with that, right? Well, you take it and you get some grease. Now, how many going to just take some lard, and just get you a big old mouthful of that? Oh, God. Boy, get the castor oil out, boy. Woo! Boy. But anyway, and you get that lard and you get some heat. Ain't none of y'all going to stick your hand on the stove, are you? Pray you don't. But anyway, you take that chicken. Now, ain't nobody going to eat no raw chicken, are they? Mm-mm. But you take that stuff and you put them all together. You take them eggs and that buttermilk and you put that chicken in there and you let it soak in there and marinate a little bit. Well, you pull it out and you roll it in that flour with that salt and pepper in it. And boy, you put it in that, you put that in that hot grease, amen, at about 375 degrees. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, you talking about something good. But let me tell you something. I don't understand why we have the circumstances that we have in life. I don't know everything that happens individually and separately in our lives. But I do know one thing. I know God puts it all together and he works it for the good of them that loves the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you something. That's the same way I feel about that fried chicken. Bless God. He puts it together for them. Hey, I don't understand why he took my mama. I didn't at the time, but I do now. It woke me up. It put me back on that straight and narrow path, the path that he had me on. Not everything do we understand. Not everything do we see just that plain. But I'm going to tell you what. God don't have nothing to happen to us for no reason. Amen. And let me tell you something. You say, well, why did that happen to me? You never know. It might not have just happened to you. It could be there to help somebody else. Hey, we don't see the big picture. We're not looking up from up above and seeing everything that's going on. But the eternal God of this universe is. And we need to just trust him. We need to obey him and take what we know and spread it with the world. Hey, I want to say that again because you must have missed it. Hey, we don't know why all the things happen in life, but we do know one thing is how salvation comes about. We ought to take what we know and spread it all about. Amen. And I'm done. Jesus Christ is good to me. I want to ask you something tonight. You mind if I give an invitation, brother? You want to? With every head bowed and every eye closed, everybody standing to your feet, disabled to stand.